Welcome to the Deep Dive. If you're building anything serious, well, really anything in tech today, you're probably working in the cloud. And if you're in the cloud, you absolutely need a solid blueprint. So today we're diving deep into what's arguably the foundational concept for building well on AWS, the well-architected framework, the WA framework. Yeah, and our sources are really clear on this. This isn't some academic paper. It's like distilled wisdom from AWS, working with literally millions of customers over the years. It's the playbook, really, for avoiding those costly mistakes and building things that, you know, actually work and last.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And our mission today for you listening is to give you that cohesive understanding. Think of the WA framework as your blueprint for excellence in the cloud. It helps you build workloads that are, well, secure, high-performing, resilient, efficient, and increasingly important, sustainable too. It's a structured approach we're talking about, a consistent way to look at your designs, evaluate them, and implement scalable solutions. It's all built around these foundational principles and 6 core pillars. If you miss this structure, you're kind of just winging it. Honestly, getting this framework is fundamental. It's how you go from just using AWS to really mastering it, building well, as they say.
Okay, blueprint. I like that. Let's unpack it then. You mentioned 6 pillars holding this whole thing up. To really get it, we need to know what each one focuses on, and maybe more importantly, what core question it answers for us, right? Let's start with the operations side. Operational excellence, or OPEX. What's that really demand from us day to day?
Operational excellence. Yeah, you could argue this is where a lot of the daily grind focus lands. It's about running and monitoring your systems effectively. But maybe even more critically, it's about continually improving your processes. It's shifting from seeing architecture as static to something that evolves.
Right. So moving away from manual fixes and like firefighting during outages, what are the key concepts here? What tools help us get that smooth automated operation?
Consistency and automation are central. You absolutely need to be using infrastructure as code ISC for managing changes programmatically. Automating deployments, making sure changes are frequent, small, reversible, that's key. If something breaks, you roll it back instantly.
Ah, much less painful than figuring out what went wrong in some massive quarterly update. Minimizes human error too, I guess.
Exactly. And a huge part of OPEX is observability. You need detailed logging, monitoring. Think services like Amazon CloudWatch, AWS CloudTrail, and you need to clearly define what healthy means for your workload using KPIs, key performance indicators. The driving question here really is, how do we run and monitor our systems effectively to deliver business value smoothly?
Okay, operation smooth. Then we hit the big one, security. Everyone says it's job zero, the non-negotiable foundation. Because you can't just bolt on security later, right? The focus is protecting info, systems, confidentiality, integrity, availability, the whole triad.
Security is definitely paramount. And it's where you immediately bump into the famous shared responsibility model. It is so critical that you as the customer know exactly what you're responsible for versus what AWS handles. AWS secures the cloud of the cloud, the physical infrastructure, the core services.
Mm-hmm.
But you're responsible for security in the cloud, your data, your configurations, your OS patches.
Getting that split wrong sounds like an instant disaster.
It can be.
Yeah.
So give us the must-knows. What are the key defenses we need to think about?
Well, identity and access management, IAM, is absolutely fundamental. Controlling who can do what, when, and why. And closely tied to that is the principle of least privilege. Only grant the minimum permissions needed for a task. Nothing more, ever. Then layer on encryption. Data needs to be encrypted both in transit, moving across networks, and at rest when it's stored. Mandatory.
And we need ways to detect problems too, right? Not just prevention.
Oh, absolutely. Detective controls are essential. Things like Amazon Guard Duty, which monitors for malicious activity, or AWS Config to track configuration changes that might introduce risk. And of course, protecting the network edge with tools like AWS WEF, the Web Application Firewall, and AWS Shield for DDoS protection. So, the security pillar asks a very direct question. How do we protect our data, accounts, and systems? Simple question, complex answer.
All right, pillar 3, reliability. We've automated operations with OPEX, locked things down with security. But none of that helps if the app keeps falling over.
Exactly. Reliability is all about resilience. It's ensuring your workload functions consistently and, crucially, can recover quickly from any failure. And the big mental shift here is that you have to explicitly design for failure. Don't pretend it won't happen. Assume hardware fails, networks get flaky, dependencies hiccup.
Okay, but how do we actually do that in the cloud without breaking the bank? Designing for failure sounds expensive.
It doesn't have to be. That's the beauty of the cloud model. It starts with designing for high availability, having robust disaster recovery plans, or DR. We aim for auto recovery from failures. Systems should ideally fix themselves without needing a human to intervene, which, you know, ties right back to that automation and OpEx. The core mechanism is usually scaling horizontally, adding more small instances rather than one giant one, and distributing everything across multiple availability zones, or AZEs. For maximum resilience, you might even go across multiple AWS regions.
Ah, so if one data center or even a whole geographic area has issues, your application keeps running. Business continuity.
Precisely. So the reliability question is, how do we make sure our application stays up, meets its recovery goals, and can heal itself when things inevitably go wrong?
Okay, this is where, as you said, things start getting really intertwined.
Yeah.
The next three pillars, performance efficiency, cost optimization, sustainability, they seem to overlap a lot. This requires some careful balancing acts, I imagine. Let's tackle performance efficiency first.
Yeah, performance efficiency. This one's about using IT and computing resources efficiently. It's about precision. You want to make sure you have the right resources allocated to meet performance needs, but without being wasteful or constrained.
And what are the modern ways to get that efficiency? Is it just about picking a bigger EC2 instance?
No, not at all, actually. Often it's the opposite. We talk a lot about using advanced tech. Serverless, like AWS Lambda, is often great for performance efficiency. It scales instantly, handles infrastructure for you. We also focus on efficient scaling using things like auto-scaling groups. And the really critical practice of right-sizing.
Right-sizing.
Yeah.
Matching the resource type and size to the actual need.
Exactly. Don't use an extra large instance if a medium would do the job perfectly well. Also, using global services like Amazon CloudFront to cache content closer to users improves performance dramatically, reduces latency. So the performance question boils down to, are we using the right amount and type of resources to meet our performance needs efficiently?
Now let's shift to the bottom line, cost optimization. You hinted that performance and cost are like two sides of the same coin. This pillar is all about avoiding unnecessary spend and getting the real financial benefits the cloud promises, right?
Absolutely. Cost optimization is critical because, let's face it, wasted cloud spend can kill any project or migration benefit. It hinges on understanding that pay-as-you-go consumption model, but also, for predictable workloads, leveraging different pricing models. Reserved instances, or RIs, and savings plans can dramatically cut costs compared to on-demand pricing.
And this must be where having good visibility becomes crucial, using the tools AWS provides.
Oh, definitely. You can't optimize what you can't see. Tools like AWS Cost Explorer and setting up AWS budgets are absolutely central. It requires constant monitoring and, frankly, a mindset shift. Every resource deployed has a direct dollar cost. The goal is maximizing value for the lowest possible spend. So cost optimization asks, are we spending money efficiently, maximizing our ROI, and using the most cost-effective resources for the job?
And finally, the newest pillar, added more recently, sustainability. This focuses specifically on minimizing the environmental impact of our cloud workloads.
Yes, and this one requires a very clear understanding of responsibility, similar to security. AWS is responsible for sustainability of the cloud. That means the efficiency of their data centers, renewable energy usage, efficient hardware design, water usage, all that physical infrastructure stuff. But the customer, you are responsible for sustainability in the cloud.
Okay, what does sustainability in the cloud mean practically for, say, an architect or developer? What do we do?
It means maximizing resource utilization. Making sure the servers you are using are working hard, not sitting idle. This means less overall hardware is needed, reducing energy consumption per task. It means thinking about data, reducing the amount you store unnecessarily. Do you really need 7 years of backups for that test environment? Probably not. It also means adopting newer, more efficient hardware when appropriate, like AWS's Graviton processors, which offer better performance per watt. And leveraging managed services often helps because AWS can achieve economies of scale and utilization that are hard for individual customers to match. So the architect needs to ask, how can we minimize our environmental footprint by maximizing utilization and choosing efficient options?
Okay, connecting all this, it feels like the real skill isn't just memorizing the definitions of the six pillars. It's understanding the why behind an action, especially where they blur.
That's exactly it. The intention test is key. So for example, if you implement strict IAM policies, your primary intention is protecting resources. That's clearly security. If you buy a 3-year reserved instance for a database, your intention is purely financial saving. That's cost optimization.
But let's hit that big overlap you mentioned, performance efficiency and cost optimization. What if I right-size an instance? Say, I downgraded because it was way too big. Which pillar is that?
Ah, see, that's a perfect example of synergy. Right-sizing by reducing an oversized instance is probably the number one way people save money. So it's absolutely crucial for cost optimization. Huge impact there. But let's say you had a database bottlenecked by slow disk I.O. Upgrading the storage volume to a faster type is also a form of right-sizing. And that action directly improves application speed, fulfilling the performance efficiency pillar.
So the same action-changing resource size type can serve both pillars, depending on the specific problem you're solving. The intent matters.
Precisely. The action might be identical, but the reason you're doing it often targets one pillar more directly, even if it benefits others.
And we see other tight connections too, right? Like OPEX and reliability. You mentioned automation is core to OPEX.
But you can't achieve fast, reliable recovery, the heart of reliability, without that automation. They feed each other.
And security underpins everything. You can't be reliable or efficient if you've been compromised.
It's completely foundational. They all work together. It's a holistic view.
Beyond the pillars themselves, the framework also talks about these high-level design principles. Kind of the guiding philosophies that force us away from old school data center thinking.
They really do. Take the first one. Stop guessing your capacity needs. Remember how we used to buy servers for peak load 3 years out? Huge waste. In the cloud, this principle says use auto scaling, use serverless, match capacity to demand dynamically. That hits cost optimization and performance efficiency immediately.
And another big one, design for failure. You mentioned this with reliability. It's not about building stronger things.
It's about building systems that expect failure and handle it gracefully. Multiple AZs, multiple regions, loose coupling, ensuring no single component failure takes down the whole show.
Which sounds like it connects to another principle, decouple your components.
Exactly. Use services like message queues, SQS, SNS to break monolithic applications into smaller independent services. If the order processing part fails, it shouldn't crash the user login part. That's classic reliability achieved through architectural decoupling.
And there's one about automation making experimentation easier.
Right. Automate to make architectural experimentation easier. We use infrastructure as code, not just for stable deployments, OPEX, but so we can spin up a whole new environment, test an idea, maybe a new database type, run some tests, and then tear it all down an hour later. Super cheap, super fast. That accelerates innovation safely.
These principles really force a different mindset, don't they? Elasticity, distribution, automation. It's a world away from racking physical servers.
It's a massive conceptual leap. Absolutely.
So we have the pillars, we have the principles. How does this translate into practice? How do we actually, you know, use this framework to check our own work?
Ah, that's where the AWS well-architected tool comes in, the WA tool. It's a free service right there in the AWS management console. Its whole purpose is to give you a consistent, structured way to review a specific workload, which is basically the set of components delivering some business value against all these best practices we've been talking about.
Okay, so it's not just reading the white paper. It's an interactive tool, less like an audit, maybe more like a guided self-assessment.
That's a good way to put it. It guides you, the customer, through a series of questions for each of the six pillars. It forces you to think critically about your specific configurations, your scaling strategies, your cost controls, your security postures. And the output is really actionable. You get a report highlighting potential risks, high-risk issues, HRIs, and medium-risk issues, MRIs. These are specific areas where your workload deviates from best practices, and crucially, it provides recommended improvement plans.
So if I, say, have an S3 bucket that's accidentally public, the tool would flag that as a high-risk security issue.
Exactly, and it would point you towards the steps to remediate it, like changing the bucket policy or using block public access settings.
Got it. So the goal isn't just the report itself, but actually doing something about it.
Yeah.
Encouraging that ongoing review and improvement cycle.
Hmm.
The well-architected framework review, or WAR4.
That's precisely the goal. It turns the framework from abstract concepts into a tangible, measurable, and iterative process for improvement. It makes good architecture something you can actively work on.
Fantastic. That really clarifies how it all fits together. Okay, that was a really thorough deep dive. Let's quickly recap the key takeaways for everyone listening, just to lock in the core idea of each pillar. So, operational excellence. Think automation, monitoring, managing change effectively, keeping things consistent. Security, all about IAM, encryption everywhere, detected controls, and really understanding that shared responsibility model. Reliability, Focus on recovery, fault tolerance, designing for failure using multiple AZs, maybe even regions. Performance efficiency, right-sizing is key, using smart tech like serverless, selecting the best resource for the job. Cost optimization, control your spending, keep right-sizing, use RIs or savings plans where sensible. Visibility is crucial. And sustainability, maximize utilization of the resources you do use, reduce waste, choose efficient options to minimize that environmental footprint in the cloud.
Nicely summarized. And maybe one final thought to leave you with. While we talk about the framework in terms of building better technical architectures, think about how its principles, designing for failure, decoupling, constant improvement through OpEx, are fundamentally about reducing business risk. Consider how these areas, especially that tight link between performance efficiency and cost optimization, kind of force engineers and architects to look at technology choices through a financial lens too. How does that constant pressure to optimize, to be efficient, to justify cost, how does that ultimately change the way a large organization approaches innovation and investment? It really ties engineering decisions directly back to business outcomes, doesn't it? Something to think about.